and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll-free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Monday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well. It has felt more like summer the last few days. Been much more humid. Hope everybody got through the weekend all right and ready for another week. And we're here with you for The Drive. It's Bill, Dan, and Drew right this minute. The regular crew, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com, on his way, and he will be joining us. We hope you will as well. And as we're getting started, let's let you know that, as usual, hour number one of The Drive, brought to you by the good folks at Kia of Auburn on South College and KiaofAuburn.com. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. And also, they're also the sponsor of our hotline. One of the ways you can get through to us, by calling 334-321-321. 1390.
You can also text the show 334-564-1840 on The Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Well, so how was your weekend, Dan?
You know, it was nice. It was relaxing. Got to got to watch a lot of baseball. Didn't see a ton of it in person, but got to enjoy a somewhat cool, calm weekend here in Auburn. I got some family in town, which is nice, and we're not talking about the kind of baseball success that we'd like to talk about.
No, not the kind of baseball we hoped we'd be talking about this week, because that opportunity that we said might afford itself did indeed, as Clemson did not make it out of their own regional. Unfortunately, neither did Auburn.
Right, and you got to go to the ballpark. For
Went for both of the Auburn games. Sadly, I mean, I said to a couple of folks there on Saturday, Auburn picked a bad time to go into a hitting slump. And, you know, baseball is a game of streaks, a game of hot streaks and slumps. And the Auburn bats were virtually non-existent over the weekend. Zero extra base hits in the two games. Auburn had just singles, and it was, six or seven was all they had in the two games against Penn and Southern Miss. The Friday game, and we'll talk to Brian about this too. Ooh, Brian was in the box. And it was like, it was the hot box. My goodness. Yeah, that's something when they do the renovations of Plainsman Park. I hope they make it a little cooler in the press box. I was fortunate that
Do you go football? Do you close the windows and put in a more sophisticated AC system?
I think you give it the ability of closing the windows, right, and turning the AC on. Right. Yeah, I think so. So I was in my regular seats Friday night. It was pleasant Friday night because we were shaded. Saturday, it was hot. Saturday, it was really hot, and so were the Southern Miss bats, but Auburn never could get it going. But, you know, really, Friday, I never felt – I was never terribly concerned until Penn – stretch the lead in the 11th. It was one of those games where it just felt like Auburn was holding Penn down, and you just kept waiting and thinking somebody's going to come through with a big hit. And that's something Auburn just never did, could not do on Friday or Saturday. I really thought that the deep drive to right center by Chris Stanfield with the bases loaded, I think it was the sixth, when Auburn had just taken a lead on a bases-loaded walk. The right fielder and Tex, who I sat next to Tex on Saturday, he's exactly right. I mean, the Penn dugout moved him over to his right, a little more to right center, just before Stanfield's at bat. And if he hadn't been over there, he would not have been able to get to it. It would have been at least a two-run, maybe a bases-clearing double, and I think Auburn would have broken the game open. But as it turned out, it was a very well-placed alignment, and the right fielder was able to run down the ball, and Stanfield had a couple of balls really well hit there in the opening game on Friday and came up empty. But that that may have been the turning point, because it seemed like, wow, the feeling was almost like, well, we're not hitting it hard, but when we do hit it hard, we hit it right at somebody. So that was sort of the feeling there. Saturday it was all Southern Miss. I mean, their bats, which came alive again late last night and have again today, look like they're going to carry them to the Super Regional in Knoxville. They lead Penn right now 8-5. That one in the sixth inning. Vandy, another SEC team that didn't make it out of their regional. The other SEC teams look like they're in pretty good shape right now. LSU about to wrap up their regional, because they would have to – Oregon State would have to come back from 12-4 here in the bottom of the eighth and then beat them again. So LSU's in great shape. We'll run down the other scores, but yes, for Auburn, tough way to end the season. We welcome in Brian Matthews now from AuburnSports.com. Brian, have you cooled down a little bit from the press box? It's a little toasty in the box.
It was, and then I was just out at Auburn's first camp of the year.
Oh, so it's a little warm out there. Yeah.
So it's been a warm weekend.
It has. I said Friday. I told Kendra I was glad that I had my regular seats on Friday in the shade. Yes. It was fine.
Yeah.
It was hot. It was hot in the press box.
I don't know what it is, but 84 feels like 90 something right now. I don't know why.
Well, there's no breeze. I mean, the humidity's getting up there a little bit too, and we're getting older. I mean, that's a little part of
that. That might be a little part of it.
Yeah. It's tough going for Auburn base. They just couldn't get the bats going. I thought the pitching was good enough Friday.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I thought Chase Alsup pitched well, you know, and kept Auburn.
Oh, yeah.
Friday felt more like a missed opportunity than Saturday.
It really did. Auburn had some runners get on. They just couldn't get the hit. I was telling Dan, Brian, Friday, I really didn't feel concerned until Penn stretched it in the 11th. I mean, you kept thinking, Auburn's got the last at bat. Somebody's going to either pop one, or they're going to put a couple of hits back to back. But they didn't. Credit Penn. Penn played a very sound game Friday.
And they pitched well. And
yes,
Chris Stanfield may have had the three hardest hit, you know, balls of Auburn's weekend, and none of them fell for hits.
Right.
I mean, that's just the way it went.
That last one, the one I was talking with the bases loaded, I thought that one had a chance.
Looks like it's going to the gap off the bat.
They just moved their right fielder over a few steps to his right.
Makes a difference.
Two or three runs.
Yeah, but I mean, it was a disappointing end. I don't think anybody would be able to tell you differently. But once you get over that disappointment, you got to look back and say what a heck of a run this team made. 12-3 in the second half of the season. Made history by having back-to-back regionals at home for the first time in program history. And, you know, you got to watch Bryson Ware break the home run record this year. Kaysen Howell tie the doubles career record and set the record for games played by an Auburn player. So, you know, tough way to end it, and not what anybody expected. You know, it's probably even worse that, you know, Clemson lost and Auburn would be hosting the Super Regional had they played better than one. But that's just the way it goes sometimes.
You know, very few teams get to have successful postseason runs, you know, in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, only one finishes with a win.
Only right. one finishes with a
in
win.
Each sport,
and,
yep.
And you go from 64 to 16 pretty quickly in college baseball. The run this team made in the second half of conference play was really special and should probably be looked back as like that was the peak. And it's not about peaking too early or what this team could have done to recapture some of that magic in the postseason. But when they faced down as a big underdog teams like LSU and South Carolina, like that was, it's a really nice moment that I hope, you know, those guys can, you know, that they can look back on the season fondly, in part because, I mean, they were down, and it looked like they were down for the count midway through conference play. And they picked themselves up off the mat and finished with the kind of finish that gets you home postseason games in college baseball. So, yeah, I mean, you reshuffle the deck. That's college baseball now, right? I mean, a lot of questions about. Well, you know, let's move into that. What do we know? What are the questions as far as next year's roster? Who has a decision to make from this Auburn baseball team?
Not a whole lot of decisions, right? Unless somebody wants to do what Casey did and come back for their fifth year.
I mean, the thing is, I was asked that a little earlier today, and you know, Cole Foster could come back, but he's going to make have an opportunity to make too much money.
Yeah, this is
right now.
Yeah.
Switch hitter with the kind of power that he has playing shortstop.
Got a great arm. Yep.
Oh yeah.
Yep. So, I mean, you could be surprised. I mean, even Bryson Ware, I forget the exact quote, but he said maybe probably his last game here or something like that that left the door slightly ajar, we'll say. But other than that, I think, you know, there may be some guys that didn't play a lot this year that decide to transfer, you know, or go to a junior college or something. That's pretty normal. And then you're watching the Major League Baseball draft. McGonagall is their top-rated signee. He is a shortstop, probably a second baseman, one of the best hitters in the country with so much power in his bat. I mean, just unbelievable power in his bat.
The good news, bad news of signing a really good high school player in college baseball is that you kind of have to hold your breath.
Oh, yeah.
You have to hold your breath on draft weekend and hope that –
And then you have to
hope,
and then you have to have some in case scenarios there, because I mean it's crazier than any other sport because you have partial scholarships, so it's not like you can just be offering somebody else and have multiple players at positions. You've got to you know, have scenarios set up in case you don't get this guy. Who can you go after that you can get for whatever portion of a scholarship that you have left?
Well, I got a question, Brian. And I know very little is known. Very little is known, you know, set in stone as far as what we know about NIL and how much, who's getting what.
Mm-hmm.
How would you, when people ask about Auburn baseball's NIL support and whether or not, because I think there was a question of the states, the places that don't offer the academic scholarships that allow, you know, some of the SEC teams to have what people think is an uneven playing field. You know, there was a thought that NIL could change that a little bit at places like Auburn and Alabama. What do you know about the support that Auburn baseball is getting from an NIL standpoint?
Well, I don't think they're able to do what LSU did last year, where they go out and, you know, get
the top pitcher in the country
or pay a lot of money for him, right? But I do think they have a pretty robust amount that they can offer to get good players. And I think it helps make up the difference that Auburn has always had to make up with not having a Hope Scholarship or some other different things that schools in Mississippi and Louisiana and such are able to get to their players where Auburn can't or hasn't been in the past. NIL helps out in that way, but it's not the be-all, end-all, you know. Nobody's paying a couple $100,000, you know, to get an Auburn baseball player here, at least at this point.
Ooh,
I believe those academic scholarship programs are in place at every state bordering Alabama. Right?
Yeah.
Tennessee, Florida, Georgia, and Mississippi all have.
Every one of Auburn and Alabama's SEC rivals have some sort of ability to give more money than Auburn can for whatever reason. Of course, Vanderbilt,
well, Alabama
being a
does.
Private school. Well, yeah. Yeah. But, you know, there is talk about them changing that. The NCAA is, I think, considering at least giving more scholarship money to baseball. I don't know the exact number they're thinking, but maybe 20 scholarships, something like that, which would make a big difference. You know, that would make Auburn's NIL better because instead of making up scholarship money, then they're just adding on to it, which is what other schools are able to do more so than Auburn.
I made a couple of little noises while you guys were talking. One was Penn was down 8-5 going to the top of the seventh. They had a chance to take the lead. They scored twice, had runners at second and third, but a strikeout sends them back to the field. So they've cut it to one. Southern Miss now leading Penn 8-7. This is, of course, winner moves on to the regional in Knoxville. The loser's season is done. Penn trying to become the first Ivy League team ever to make a super regional.
It's been a good game. They were up 5-1, and then Southern Miss scored four runs to tie it, right? Yeah, tie it, and then they took the three-run lead, and now Penn's cut it to 7-8, as you said. So that's – if I didn't have the camp and, you know, the radio show, I would have loved to be over there just to watch this game, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Penn is such a solid team, and Southern Miss, they can crush the ball. Just see in another game involving an SEC team, Arkansas has just seen TCU score and take the lead. Arkansas was leading 4-3. But TCU has scored and still batting in the bottom of the sixth, leading the Hogs 5-4. It's a lot closer than the first time they played, as TCU put 20 on the Hogs the first time they played. So this is a ball game. Again, you've got, I believe, three SEC schools in must wins, in win, or your season's done. LSU is wrapping things up. They were unbeaten going in, so they just needed one win. They could have even afforded a loss, but it looks like they're going to breeze through against Oregon State.
Florida's through to the Supers.
Yep. Florida's through. You've got Kentucky, and Kentucky plays tonight against Indiana, Texas A&M against Stanford. And, yeah, that's it, I believe.
I think A&M's got to win twice, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so. Yeah. I know A&M has a loss. Tennessee. Does Stanford not have a loss?
I don't think so, but okay. I could be wrong.
Yeah, and then Tennessee's in, Alabama's in, South Carolina is in. Man, South Carolina, people wondered, well, should they really get to host? South Carolina did what Auburn did last year in the regional. Yeah. They just absolutely destroyed their opposition.
And they came into postseason playing terribly.
Yeah. So you never know.
You just never know, right? It's a shame that Auburn, you know, it happened, but that happens in baseball sometimes. You know, you go through these stretches.
Right, so you've got Tennessee having won the Clemson Regional. South Carolina won the regional they're hosting. Duke and Coastal tonight in the elimination game, the championship game of the Conway Regional. You had Texas winning the Miami Regional. You've got the Arkansas-TCU game right now that will decide the Fayetteville Regional. Arkansas would need to beat TCU
Arkansas has to win twice because they've got another game if Arkansas comes back.
And what's the score? Do you have a score on Arkansas-TCU right
5-4 now? 5-4
TCU. Okay, so and if Arkansas wins, they'd have to win again. That decides the Fayetteville Regional. Florida is through. They defeated Texas Tech earlier today to win that regional. Kentucky will play Indiana tonight to decide the Lexington Regional. Oregon eliminated Xavier yesterday to win the Nashville Regional against Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt was the host of that one. Vanderbilt eliminated by Xavier earlier in the weekend. Stanford and A&M will decide that regional. That's tonight. Oral Roberts won the Oklahoma State Regional. Dallas Baptist also was in that one. Indiana State held serve at home in Terre Haute. Alabama won the Tuscaloosa Regional. Alabama was on the ropes, Bill.
They were in the first two games. Troy. Then they absolutely destroyed BC.
Yeah, but when Alabama, when they came back.
Oh, they're down to their last out, and what appeared to be a routine grounder to short would have been a loss, and instead it turned into a two-run error, and Alabama went on and beat Troy 11-7.
Yeah, I probably need to go back and listen to Barry's call of that last.
I've seen the highlight. Oh, I haven't heard his call.
Yeah, hate what happened to the Trojans there. But Alabama winning their regional. Wake Forest won the top seed. Wake Forest won the Winston-Salem region, and I think that's just about everybody. Virginia won their regional, and then you got the LSU. Oregon State game going on right now, but quite a bit of SEC representation in the round of 16.
One other guy I want to mention for the draft from Auburn's class that they signed back in November, Colt Emerson, is a really talented shortstop that certainly is a guy that's highly rated and probably feel like he's probably going to be drafted and lose him. So and McGonigal is probably a second baseman, so there's a chance you could lose that middle infield pair, and that could be an area that Auburn looks at the transfer portal to shore up if they need to.
We need to get to our first break here of the afternoon. Bill, Dan, Brian, got Drew at the controls. Come on in and join us here on the Monday Drive.
Kia of Auburn is deeply honored to be named the best place.
Clock here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. And yeah, Brian, it's football camp time.
It is. And they had a good group out there today. Went out there and watched them. Talked to one player. I'm trying to make. I think it's Cal Griffin was his name, a 2026 quarterback that Auburn offered today. So he's from Tampa Jesuit. So I'll have a story on him in the morning. But it's pretty good group. It's changed a little bit over the last 10 to 15 years now because you have the summer recruiting and official visits. Mm-hmm. You're not getting kids in the 24 class necessarily that are coming to camps and trying to earn an offer. And that process has moved.
Most of them have already been out there. There may be some that hadn't had a chance to go that would come. But yeah.
Maybe some late developing guys, but a lot of 25 and 26s out there, and it's a chance for them to go and impress coaches, and as Will Griffin did today, maybe earn a scholarship.
Yeah, and then speaking of earning scholarships, Auburn adds to its 2023 class over the weekend.
Yeah, Champ, what's his
Anthony.
Name? Champ Anthony, JUCO cornerback. If you noticed, Auburn has been looking for one more DB to add to the class.
Yeah, that's not a surprise that they've been looking.
Yeah, they were concerned about the depth. And this guy, Champ, is a guy who's, I think he's 6'1". I think he's over 180, maybe close to 190, if I'm not mistaken. And he has the ability to play safety, cornerback, nickel. He's got that versatility. Come in right away and compete for a spot in the rotation. I wouldn't look for him necessarily to be a starter right away, but just a guy to help out with the depth.
Well, see, it seems like they were looking for insurance in the backfield there defensively. I mean, if it's a safety who can provide backing to Zion Puckett and Jalen Simpson, that's one thing. Maybe Kaufman is that sort of safety insurance, and they can find someone else who could join the rotation at nickel or dime or even on the outside. So seems like a promising addition, a junior college player that could step right in and provide some relief if Auburn has to go to their depth. He's also got a lot of years of eligibility remaining.
Yeah, he has three.
And this is a room not to look past the 2023 season at all, but this is a defensive back could be a position where there's a lot of turnover after the season because you got guys who – I mean, I think there are multiple players on Auburn at corner and safety who are probably playing their last year of college football this year. And so getting ready for that turnover by bringing in a young guy who maybe doesn't contribute much this year. And it's about...
Well, doesn't he have a... I think he's got... Well, he's got a redshirt year, too. And, so, I mean, if it came to it, he's got four to play three.
Right. So this is somebody who... I think the expectations could be different than they would be if you were bringing in a guy with 1 year left on the clock. This guy could... If it takes time... That's not the worst thing in the world because he's got so much eligibility left.
I do think there's going to be a lot of turnover in the secondary after next year, not just some of the veterans like DJ James, Nehemiah Pritchett, Keontae Scott, even though he's a junior, I think is going to be an NFL prospect, Zion Puckett, a senior, Jalen Simpson, a senior. I think there's some guys maybe that
you're wondering how much the second and third year guys are getting on the field.
If
they're deciding whether or not a future as a reserve at Auburn is the best thing for them, or if they're going to decide to go somewhere where they could play a little bit more.
I think you're building this secondary around Kyan Lee, who is a true freshman, came in the spring, a very good player. J.D. Rim, if he can take another step forward coming off the injury, is another guy that played as a true freshman last year. And some of the guys that you brought in this last class. And we'll see if maybe a guy like Austin Osberry or Caden Bridges could step up. Maybe Marquise Gilbert, who's a junior college transfer.
Right.
And he's got another year
apparently
left.
Apparently had a pretty good spring.
Yeah, maybe him. But, you've got like three safeties, Terrence Love, Sylvester Smith, C.J. Johnson, all came in, in May. You got a couple of other corners, Tyler Scott and who was the other one? Colton Hood. Both came in the spring. Mm-hmm. So those are the guys that you really look for maybe to fill out the depth chart this year and possibly push for starting jobs next year.
We'd love to hear from you, 334-321-1390. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise, Brian Matthews with us. Brian, before we get to the bottom of the hour break, I mean, yeah, obviously that's something that's going on now with baseball season done. I mean, we'll pretty much shift more toward a football focus now. I mean, basketball looks like maybe, I mean, there might be somebody else that could help rebounding or something like that. But the basketball roster appears set. The football roster, I think they're done bringing players in.
Depending on what happens to the two guys that haven't qualified yet.
Right.
I think that's static. So unless, one or two of those guys come in, I don't anticipate any changes.
Yeah, so that's what'll be going on there. So what's just quickly, what's on the agenda, what's the outlook for the next few days there at AuburnSports.com?
Well, it's going to be recruiting. They had four official visitors plus the champ kid who committed, so five total this weekend. I think we caught up with most of those guys already. And then they're having an even bigger weekend coming up. I don't know the exact number yet, but it'll be a much bigger official visit weekend. You got the camp today, another camp I think on Thursday, and there's a BOT meeting, I think, Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday and Friday.
Yeah. So there'll probably be some news coming out of that too. And
that's big for baseball.
Yes.
Going ahead, go ahead and approve, and let's find out exactly what is on the plans.
Yes.
So they can break ground and get to it.
Exactly. So that'll be some news that I'll be watching closely and reporting on when it's official.
We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join us here on the Monday Drive. We're keeping up with what's going on in the regionals. Not looking good for the Arkansas Razorbacks as TCU has extended their lead as they bat in the bottom of the seventh. The Horned Frogs leading Arkansas, leading the Frogs over the Hogs, 7-4. And remember, Arkansas would have to come from behind, win this one, and then win again later on tonight. So TCU, if they can hang on, will eliminate Arkansas, and they will move on to the Super Regional.
So I wanted to ask Brian, because this is the first time we've gotten to talk to him since the SEC's announcement last week that there will be an 8-game schedule in 2024. And I thought it was interesting that, I mean, we're going to find out next week in prime time on SEC Network.
Unveil it on the SEC Network.
They're going to unveil
the schedule.
Oh, is that right?
And that was part of the announcement. You know,
I missed that part.
June 14th, going to announce everyone's, not going to announce the schedule, they will announce the opponents, the SEC opponents for every team.
Home and away?
Yes.
Okay.
And the thing that the commissioner had said, the first thing he said was there will be no divisions. They will try to balance it and maintain as many rivals as possible.
Which my question would be, if they're tearing up division play and you got to build an 8-game schedule for Auburn, working under the assumption that they're not touching the Alabama or Georgia games locations.
Right, and they'd both be away.
So you can safely assume that at Alabama and at Georgia are two of Auburn's four road games in 2024. Let's work with that. You got six other games on the schedule. What should they be?
Well, I think Auburn's probably going to get some marquee home games. I would be surprised if Texas or Oklahoma doesn't come to Auburn.
If you kept LSU, LSU would be in the rotation as a home game.
Right.
If you kept LSU, I think Texas or Oklahoma would make sense as a new addition at home in that situation.
I think Texas makes more sense than Oklahoma because you've got Alabama and Georgia on your schedule.
I could see,
if you want to try to say that it's balanced.
I could see. I mean, depending on
if you're playing Alabama, Georgia, and Oklahoma, you're not going to be able to play a balance.
I'm not sure which team is better in 2024 because they seem to be going in different directions. Maybe with the new coaches they got. Maybe
what are you going to base it on?
I know they have to base it on previous, but I'm just saying from our perspective.
That's true.
We kicked the schedule around on the Observer podcast over the weekend. What do you guys think of at Alabama, at Georgia, at State, at Ole Miss?
Okay.
Home versus LSU, Texas, Florida, Arkansas.
Ooh, I don't know if Auburn will get that many good teams.
That's almost the balance that I had. But
how many top eight teams is that on Auburn's schedule?
That's five, probably.
Five of eight.
Five. I mean, depending on how you view Texas and how you view Ole Miss.
Six.
Can you make
six? Yeah. That's six top eight.
Six.
No,
so who's gone? So who do you get rid of?
Florida.
Get rid of Florida.
Florida.
Okay. Switch Florida for
Mississippi State.
I already had State. I already had both Mississippi teams. You got to replace Florida with a lesser team as a home game.
What I mean
in the schedule,
Kentucky.
Has Kentucky been worse than Florida?
Missouri.
What I did the other day is I went and I
Missouri would work.
I looked over the last 5 years at teams, and I think you got to do recency. It's got to be over the last 4 or 5 years. It'll change year to year, but over the last 5 years, Auburn's schedule next year, the 2023 schedule is almost perfect as far as your average team should be between 8 and 9 because you've got the top eight, the bottom eight. So your average opponent should get 8.5 points. Right? You understand what I'm saying?
I think so.
All right. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you go 16 for the first place team, bottom team, 8.5 would be the exact middle.
Right. Gotcha.
If you got 8.5 points for eight games, that's 68 points. Auburn's schedule next year, if you do it like that, is 69. The way to get it to 68.
This is with the last 5 years?
Yeah. Yep. The way to get it to 68, interestingly, Texas A&M has won one more game the last 5 years than Texas has.
Gotcha.
So you replace Texas A&M with Texas, and Auburn has the exact balanced schedule.
Yeah. Okay, so who's got – so let's assume again.
So that'll give you Alabama, Georgia, LSU, and Texas in the top eight. Okay. Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Arkansas, and who's the fourth in the bottom? Who else do we have on the schedule?
I had Florida, but you're replacing Florida in that situation with somebody from the bottom eight.
Yep.
And it would be I think you can just pick just about anybody from that bottom eight who isn't already on the schedule. You want Missouri, Vanderbilt, South Carolina.
What's the schedule this year?
This year it's Vandy. Vandy is on the schedule, right. 23.
Yeah, Vandy. It would need to be Vandy for you to be at 68.
Yeah, they're at Vandy this year.
So it would need to be Vandy home. Again
so
next year.
So you keep basically,
if you take this year's schedule and just replace it with Texas, to replace A&M with Texas. Now, that would change after this year.
Yeah. So that would leave us with road games against Bama, Georgia, Ole Miss, and Mississippi State.
Home
games against LSU,
Texas, Arkansas, and Vandy.
LSU, Texas, Arkansas. But can you sell a home schedule of those?
You absolutely can sell Texas and LSU.
Those four and Cal is coming in as an out of conference game.
Absolutely,
as well
I think you can.
That would be potentially your 2024 home slate.
Yeah, especially with a team you would think would be. Getting better.
Yeah, getting better. Yeah. Now, the only thing is, I looked at some other team schedules.
I'm okay with that.
Alabama's schedule this year, would the opponents, the eight SEC opponents, would total 62 points, which isn't that terrible.
Right.
They would need to replace somebody with a tougher opponent, probably in Oklahoma, since they don't play Georgia.
Where's Tennessee in your last 5 years' rankings?
Tennessee in the last 5 years is tied with Auburn and Mississippi State.
Okay.
There's a three-way tie.
So that's been one of the issues, I think, with the 3-6 is Tennessee was being put in the bottom eight.
Well, here's
Alabama
the thing.
Alabama was getting Auburn and LSU in the top eight.
Build me an eight-game Bama schedule for 24.
Well, was with nine, though. That's not eight.
Yeah.
All right, so you could still say that they're balanced then by saying, okay, Tennessee is better than that. Tennessee would be a top six team. That would still make Alabama's schedule. If I move Tennessee up from ninth to sixth, Alabama has the exact same schedule as Auburn does.
Auburn
with Tennessee.
Auburn, Tennessee.
Because they still don't get Georgia or Oklahoma.
Right.
Auburn, Tennessee, LSU, and then I presume you'd add either Texas or Oklahoma to the schedule, and that would be your four. You know what I mean? Like it feels like everyone's getting Texas or Oklahoma.
They've got Texas A&M, who's also in the top six on their schedule right now.
Okay.
So if you think Tennessee is a top eight team, then LSU, they still only have LSU, A&M, and Tennessee would be in the top eight. They've got to have somebody tougher. The one that's ridiculous is Georgia. Georgia's eight SEC opponents total 50 points. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They play six or seven of the bottom eight teams.
Yeah.
It's what they play this year.
That's ridiculous.
The only team Georgia plays in the top eight is Florida.
I guess Auburn's not in the top eight.
They play Florida and Kentucky. Florida and Kentucky, the numbers 5 and 6 teams. Those are the best they play.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
They play 5, 6, 9, 10, 12, 14, 15, 16.
Yeah.
So that's where the school that's going to get the toughest, if indeed the commissioner tries to make it balanced, school that's going to see the biggest change is going to be Georgia on the how much tougher it gets. There's somebody out there that has a ridiculously tough schedule, maybe Arkansas, that's going to get
a break. Yeah.
I wonder how, the formula we sort of stumbled into with Auburn of keeping several of the division rotations alive.
Well, if you want to keep things that people call rivals,
you
know, there are people that want to keep LSU. And you're not going to be able to keep all those, but for that 1 year in 2024, I'd be very surprised if Auburn doesn't have Alabama, Georgia, LSU, Mississippi State.
It's interesting to me, being an old-timer, when you talk about rivals, you mentioned LSU, but of course Florida and Tennessee don't show up because
that's right.
30 because years ago.
Before 30 years ago, those were the teams you played every year.
And you didn't play LSU.
And you didn't play LSU much at all.
And now I would consider LSU a rival.
Right.
because they're close by and Auburn plays them. And
but
in the 2000s, they played a lot of big games that mattered.
They did.
Yeah.
I mean, I sort of like the idea of keeping, you got eight games to play with, keeping five of your...
Seven that you're playing
five,
in your
division. Five of the seven division opponents, and then your permanent cross-division rival, and then...
So that's six of your eight. So you're just adjusting two, and you're going to add Texas or Oklahoma to just about everybody,
because
they need eight games each.
And then play a rematch with whoever your rotation opponent is in 23. Whoever you drew in 23 is your rotation.
That's exactly what we did.
That's exactly what I did.
I put Texas in and replayed Vandy.
I'm interested because I know the SEC was doing their rankings to do the top eight and bottom eight. But I think they were going longer than 5 years, if I'm not mistaken. Was it 7 or 8 years?
They were talking about that, but then the last time I heard Greg Sankey talked about it, he talked about 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
I think there were people saying, what does it matter what somebody did 10 years ago?
Yeah, okay.
And that's a very good point.
10 is probably a floating average that makes a lot of sense as far as a read on what the program is right now, much more so than 10 or 15 years.
You mean five.
Yeah. Did I say five? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Four or five.
Yeah,
makes sense.
Five's a really good number. I think 10, I think the window's a little bit
but
too
big. But when you do
big.
Five, Tennessee still comes in tied for 10th.
Interesting.
You know, so that doesn't right. I think maybe you put more emphasis on last year. You could do the last four and count last year twice.
Maybe you weigh last year more heavily, but I do think you run the risk, no matter what sort of formula you go with, you run the risk that a team could drop off very, you know.
Well,
like,
Auburn's a great
quickly.
Example. They've had pretty much roller coaster, you know.
Last 5 years.
Yeah.
The thing is, over the last 10 years, Auburn's tied for fifth.
Yeah, the metrics.
Over the last 5 years, Auburn's tied for 10th.
The metrics exactly. over the last
yeah.
five and
actually
the last 10.
Actually tied for ninth. It's a three-way tie for ninth.
Those numbers would tell you Florida is in a position of strength right now.
Well, Florida's, you know what? Florida, over the last 5 years, has a better record than they do over the last 10.
Well, over the last five, aren't they like the number three team in the conference?
They're the number five.
They're the number five, okay.
And the other thing with Auburn is if you actually look at Auburn, one of the reasons that they're lower than you think they are is because they played the toughest schedule every year.
That's true.
Right? That's skewing that a little bit
and
too
that's,
as far as team
it's
strength.
Funny. That's what Nick Saban is now complaining about. And yep. not because he's trying to help Auburn. It's because he sees what Georgia has.
Yeah.
And Georgia is his biggest threat in the SEC. And it's like Georgia plays a ridiculously easy schedule.
Yep.
Look, Alabama's schedule is easier than Auburn's. Georgia's schedule is way easier than those others.
The West teams that don't play Georgia every year are all holding their breath to see who draws Georgia in 2024, right? Because that's, I mean, presumably you're going to add an SEC West team or two to Georgia's schedule.
I think it's going to be Oklahoma. I think Georgia gets Auburn and Oklahoma from the West for sure.
Ooh, okay. Southern Miss up 11-7 now in the bottom.
Yeah,
the
that's. So. So Southern Miss, after losing their opening game
to Samford, yep.
is going to come through, and looks like they're going to come through in advance.
Who's Georgia playing from the West in like a cross division? I'll check that out.
This coming year,
do you know who's on their schedule?
Let's see, it was Arkansas. It's somebody not very good.
Is it Ole Miss? Yeah.
Maybe.
But here's one quick thing though that we're talking about this and that it's interesting to me. I was okay from the start with them delaying this decision for a year and just rolling out an eight game conference schedule and, you know, doing it the way they're doing it. I'm good with that.
That's fine. I just don't want it to stay eight.
No, I don't either. But I don't think it will. I think as soon as ESPN's ready to pay
once they pony up.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to our final break. Yellowhammer, hang on. You'll be up when we come back here on the Monday Drive.
Life isn't made.
The sports capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Monday Drive. Bill, Dan is headed out to a visit with some family here in hour number two. But Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com here in the studio. We still got Drew at the controls. We'd love for you to join in here in hour number two, which is brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And you can join us by calling the Kia of Auburn hotline. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one, and the number to get you through is 334-321-1390. You can also text us on the Drive text box, brought to you by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, and that number is 334-564-1840. More teams are moving on to Super Regionals today as we narrow the NCAA baseball field from 64 to 16. And over at Plainsman Park, Southern Miss has knocked off Penn 11-7, so there's still never been an Ivy League team in a Super Regional.
Not a heck of a run by Penn.
It really was.
Great job by Southern Miss to work back through the loser's bracket and win five games in 3.5 days.
They can hit the ball.
Yeah, they can.
And they scored 11 more today. Ran into a bunch of Southern Miss folks yesterday.
They turned up.
Yeah, they did. Well, I mean, and they're very proud of their baseball program. And so they their coach gets to continue up in Knoxville, as that's where they're headed for the Super Regional. Yeah, I was just telling you, it's like it was a shame. Southern Miss folks, and it seemed like they all had tickets because I had, season ticket holders, you got, if you bought tickets to the Regional, you had tickets to every game. And Auburn was two and done. So I had tickets for Sunday and for today. Couldn't find anybody that was really looking. I mean, I'm with you. If I didn't have anything else going on, would have been fun to watch because, I mean, these are two really good teams in Southern Miss and Penn State. Penn, that is. But, Southern Miss wins at 11-7. LSU has moved on. They will be hosting a Super Regional as they knock off Oregon State today 13-7. It looks like another SEC team about, though, to have their season come to an end as TCU is blasting Arkansas for the second time. They met earlier and it was 20-5. Not quite as bad, but 12-4 TCU leading Arkansas as the Hogs bat in the top of the ninth. Is it final now? Yep. Okay, I knew it was top nine.
Yep.
Arkansas went up and down the last three innings. I mean, as quickly as I clicked and it was the top of the inning, it was about done. So Arkansas season comes to an end as well, and that is the highest national seed that has gone down. The number three national seed, Arkansas falling, TCU. So I'll have to pull up the bracket to see where everything is
now. I think that's six national seeds that have been knocked off, if I'm not mistaken. Three more are due to play tonight. Kentucky against Indiana. Kentucky's 12. Coastal Carolina against Duke. Coastal Carolina's 10. And then Stanford is the number four national seed playing Texas A&M tonight. So who knows? Could be some more.
That's crazy. So, so Florida, let's see. Alabama, the 16 seed, will be at Wake Forest. Florida is hosting South Carolina. So those held. That's 1-16 and 2-15. Texas will take on the winner of the Stanford-Texas A&M game. And that one will either be, let's see, so it could be Texas-Texas A&M.
Yep. And every one of these games left, Stanford-Texas A&M, both teams have one loss.
Right.
So it's a one-off.
So the winner there, the winner advances. If Stanford wins, they host.
Yes.
If Texas A&M wins, I'm not sure who hosts between Texas and Texas A&M.
It might come down to who had the bigger bid.
Yep, very well could. LSU, as we said, is advancing, and they will take on the winner of the Indiana-Kentucky game, which is tonight. And again, that winner there advances to Baton Rouge. And as we said, Tennessee will be hosting Southern Miss over on the other side.
Do we know that for sure? Because they were both two seeds. Now, I'm assuming Tennessee probably had a bigger bid, but I don't know if anybody's announced it yet.
Well, it is showing, when I look at the NCAA bracket, it has Tennessee on the left as the host.
Okay, interesting.
So I guess the NCAA knew who would be hosting if Auburn didn't win. Then I guess Tennessee was going to be hosting. Over on the other side of the bracket, TCU was just knocked off. Arkansas will be traveling to Indiana State. Then you've got Oral Roberts, who won the was that the Oklahoma State regional?
It was Stillwater regional.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Oral Roberts appears to be hosting Oregon because they're on the left. Oregon, of course, came out of the Vandy regional, and then we do know that Virginia will be hosting the winner of the Duke Coastal Carolina game this evening because Virginia was the higher national seed. Even if Coastal wins, they're the 10 seed. Virginia was the 7 seed. And then I mentioned that Florida is hosting South Carolina. So there is your NCAA pairings and what is left. So we have, what, seven? Is that seven SEC teams? But you know, one is you can't have one with Florida and South Carolina playing. So that's going to eliminate one. Alabama, Florida, LSU, South Carolina. Is that everybody who is in now?
In, yeah.
Tennessee. So you got five SEC teams in, Texas A&M trying to get in, Kentucky trying to get in. So the most you could have would be seven SEC teams, which is 7 out of 16. Ain't bad.
Yeah.
But you've got one SEC matchup. So you still could have as many as six SEC teams in Omaha.
Yeah.
Probably not going to happen with Alabama at Wake Forest.
But having 4 to 5 has not been out of the ordinary.
No, that's pretty much the norm.
Yeah.
Pretty much the norm. So, yeah, Auburn, of course, as we mentioned, eliminated over the weekend. We talked a little bit about it in hour number one, Brian. I mean, it was just a bad time for the bats to go cold.
It was. They batted, I think it was 181. They had no extra base hits.
And
I know Jason, when we were over there, he looked back, and there was only one other game all season that they didn't have any extra base hits. I think that was against Arkansas maybe early on.
Wow.
And that was on the road. So it's just, you know, it's baseball, I guess.
It is. I mean, baseball's a game of streaks. Yep. Sports is a game of streaks, baseball especially.
Really? Yep.
You have hot streaks, you have cold streaks, you have slumps. Auburn had a few guys that, you know, just sort of went into a little bit of a slump down right there at the end, and then Hoover, and it carried on through. You mentioned it. I mean, Chris Stanfield hit the ball about as hard as you can hit it, especially Friday. I mean, he really crushed the ball. First at-bat of the game, and then that at-bat with the bases loaded, or a couple that really jump out at me.
I think it was the first at-bat, maybe the second at-bat in game two where he hit the ball really hard, but for an out.
Yep.
So, yeah. This is the way it goes sometimes.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you get Adam balls sometimes, and Auburn had that. When they hit it hard, it seemed like they couldn't quite get it, and they got under a few pitches too. Auburn had a lot of, you know, fly balls to the warning track.
And they had a lot where they, Butch talked about this, where they were hitting it maybe 10 to 15 feet foul every time. I mean, just nailing it, but just their timing was just off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we talked a little about that in the first hour. Great crowds. Man, great crowds for the games. And really, really looking forward to the final word coming out later this week when the Board of Trustees meets, and they can go ahead and get it. Sadly, but good. I mean, they can get started on it, but sadly, I mean, you know, it would have been nice to push it back another week after a super regional.
Right.
But now there's no reason for them not to go ahead and be able to get on it.
Yeah, and I think Butch mentioned maybe July starting, and unless something's changed, the plan was to have this take a year and a half and be ready for the start of the 2025 season.
Mm-hmm.
Now we'll see what changes, you know, have occurred from the original plan to now, but I would imagine that's probably the same timeline.
Man, it was unbelievable Friday night looking there and seeing out in center field. They were like 10 deep all the way across.
It was nice. And I think Saturday somebody got a picture of a pool they had out there, like, you know, a little inflatable pool, which is pretty cool. I mean, the crowd really turned up. And for those who didn't know, Auburn set another attendance record for a second year in a row at Plainsman Park. So this is the time to go ahead and upgrade and add some premium seating and some regular seating in different places, which I think the plans will include, which will be great. Are really looking forward to that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, that should be coming up a little later on this week. Before we get off baseball, just your thoughts. I had this question asked of me by a couple of folks just talking about looking at next year. What do you feel the best about? What do you feel are the biggest concerns, the biggest holes to be filled for next year?
Well, I think you've got to rebuild the lineup. I mean, I think Stanfield is probably going to move to center. Ike Irish will be back and probably be your catcher. Mm-hmm. And Cooper Murray, I would expect to be back at first base.
Yeah, he was just a redshirt sophomore.
Yeah, but the rest of the lineup could be all new faces.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the biggest thing they have to do. And then you feel like a lot of these pitchers are going to return. You know, Tommy Vaile, I think, it won't be, of course, but a lot of them will return. And, you know, I think some of the younger guys, like a Zach Crotchfeldt and Drew Nelson and Murphy? What's his first name?
Hayden
Murphy, thank you. Those are three really talented freshmen that got to play a good bit, especially Drew and Zach. And you think they'd be ready to step up. And then I think Auburn has a really good class of arms coming in with this class too. And we'll probably look to strengthen a little bit more in the portal. So rebuilding your lineup, probably going to add some portal guys with some experience to come in right away and see if maybe they can get some other freshmen in from this class that can come in and be, you know, the
next. Yeah, that's what's crazy is, I mean, the portal was open and there was stuff going on with the portal while games are being played.
Yep. And that's the way it is now. If a good player drops in, he could be gone in just a few days. So you gotta strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah, I mean that Penn team that just lost to Southern Miss has got two guys going to the SEC and two or three others going to Power Five schools.
And I think Texas A&M a couple of days ago got a shortstop or a middle infielder that I think some other schools like Auburn were interested in, but he went ahead and made that decision pretty quick. So they move really fast in the portal.
334-321-1390. Love to hear from you. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise, we'll get into some of the other things going on. But, I mean, if you want to talk baseball, we can. But we'll get into some of the other things. Love for you to join in as we continue here on the Monday Drive.
The team at Rich's Car Wash thanks its customers for voting them Best Car Wash in Auburn Network's Best of Auburn Opelika promotion. Join
week. Welcome back in. Bill and Brian here. Dan had to leave early, but we've got it, and we'd love for you to join in on the Kia of Auburn hotline, 334-321-1390. Let's get to it, and John is up first. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. I caught the back end of Brian Matthews' comments on Auburn baseball. I really appreciate what Brian does and the coverage he provides. Two questions or two thoughts. First one was, do you think Auburn realistically could ever win a national championship in baseball, even with Butch Thompson, because of all the challenges, the unusual challenges schools in the state of Alabama face in regards to baseball? Second question, and then I'll let you guys go, is I hear all this. I saw where Penn State's enlarging their stadium. It still just absolutely blows my mind how there's not a push amongst fans to move the postseason to campus as far as college football. I might be the only one in America, but would you guys not be excited about a playoff game at Jordan-Hare Stadium as opposed to going to, say, the dilapidated Orlando Bowl or Citrus Bowl in downtown Orlando?
Yes.
I just don't understand how there's not a fury on that. That's all I got, guys.
The first round of the playoff games are going to be at home.
Right.
Which is great. I've grown really weary of even the early season non-conference games at in the
neutral
Georgia Dome.
Sites.
Yeah,
me too.
I just can't get into it as much. It's just not as fun. It just doesn't, it's not college football when you do things like that. So I'm with you 100% on that. And I just think the bowl games are, they served college football great for, a number of years. But I just think, I'm not sure we necessarily need them anymore.
Brian, I agree with you. If all the bowl games died tomorrow, I would applaud outside of maybe the Rose Bowl. Yeah. The best thing about college football is your on-campus atmosphere. Why would you not want that in the postseason? That's all I really got, guys. Appreciate it.
Appreciate the call, John. 334-321-1390. I'd love the thought of getting to that point. I mean, first of all, it means you're in.
Yeah.
But, I really like the idea of the first round being played on campus.
Yeah, and maybe even the second round if it gets big enough.
Mm-hmm.
And just save the finals or the semifinals and finals for the neutral sites, maybe.
Let's get back to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And Cameron is up next. Hey, Cameron.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Pretty good.
Yeah, just kind of wanted to add my two cents on John's last call. I'm in agreement with him. I think we have way too many bowl games going on right now. To me, about 90 or 95% of these bowl games just feel like participation trophies, because there have been some years where you've had teams with a 500 or below 500 record playing in a bowl game. Whereas when I started watching college football growing up, like you had to be a six win or more team to be considered.
Oh heck! I mean, it used to be you better win like 70% of your games to get in. I mean, you know, before there were 30 something bowls, there were quite a few 7-win teams that didn't make bowls.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and so the my main comment was I know I heard the tail end comment of I think it was Bill and Dan were talking about the eight game conference schedule starting next season. So one thing I want to know is how does the eight game season starting in 2024, how does that affect Auburn with these I think it was like the three-man arrivals, and also when do y'all think would be the earliest time we would see Auburn hosting Texas and Oklahoma in Jordan-Hare Stadium? And I'll just hang up. Thanks, guys.
Right. Yeah, interesting question. The three permanent rivals were going to be for the 6-3, which would be
that's
the
if
nine
you're playing
games.
A nine-game conference schedule. So that couldn't start until 25.
Right, and the eight game was going to be a 7-1 where you only have one rival. But neither of those are necessarily being implemented for 2024.
Right.
What's being implemented is just a what's the right word for it?
They want a balanced non-divisional schedule that keeps as many of your rivalries as possible.
Yeah, and it's just for this one year.
Yeah,
and they're sort of moving the decision to go to 6-3 or 7-1 down. They're moving the goalpost down another year, and I think the main reason for that is because ESPN was not able or willing to pay extra money for that ninth game for 2024.
They're not willing to agree to do that at this point.
Right.
And I can understand ESPN not willing to say, oh yeah, we'll do even more. But I think this is a good move by the SEC to say, all right, these teams are coming into the league. You want to see more of them play. You want to have an extra week of that. Basically, that's what it is. You want an extra week of these teams playing, then what's that worth to you? That's what they're going to get to. And I think they will get it. But I can also understand why ESPN doesn't want to go ahead and jump in there and do that right now, because they're trying to justify some huge cuts.
Yeah. And to me, this just one-year schedule, it's not the permanent one. I think it's going to be exciting because they're going to reveal it on SEC Network.
I think you're likely to get a Texas or Oklahoma at home in 2024.
Yeah, we're going to know Wednesday night, I guess, live and find out. And I think it was you or Dan that said earlier, I mean, Texas, Oklahoma both have to get eight new opponents, right? So they're going
to
be playing most.
They're
going
to have to play everybody. I mean, every team in the SEC should be playing either Texas or Oklahoma.
If
that's how you
spread
it
out like that.
But that's how you get to eight. Yeah. I mean, unless you're going to have Texas and Oklahoma playing the same team.
Right.
But you could spread it out where one of them plays eight, the other one plays the other eight, and everybody gets either a Texas or Oklahoma on there. That would be the most fun way to spread it out.
And
that doesn't mean it's the way it's going to be.
Yeah. And I do think when they go to 6-3, Bill, that it's going to be Alabama, Georgia, and then another team sort of like a Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I think it has to be.
South Carolina.
If you're talking balance.
Right.
If you're playing the top two teams in the league, you better be playing somebody down at the bottom.
Right. So, and we both think that'll probably come in 2025.
Yep. 334-321-1390. Right back to the phone, and Alan is up next. Hey, Alan.
Hey, guys. Speaking of ESPN, was there any discussion last week at these meetings or about the viability of ESPN going forward? I mean, I know from what I understand, as a business unit, they lose money. They lose a lot of money. And if Disney cuts them loose, Then what are they going to do? I mean, where's the money going to come from then?
Well, they're still a $4 billion revenue company. So they're bringing in a ton of money right now, and they are making some cuts and moving things around. But my guess
and while they're making cuts, they don't particularly want to be, you know, bragging about how much they're bringing in.
My guess is financially they're going to be just fine, and they are also, it appears, to be moving to a you know, streaming only type.
Well, it's because let's face it. I mean, cable and you know, those things like that are. They rely so much on ESPN.
Right, they do.
And ESPN is looking at how valuable they are to that, but more and more people are moving away from cable and satellite and going to streaming.
Yep.
So that's where the money is going to be.
And live sports are where you can sell those ads the most, right?
Yep.
And ESPN owns a lot of live sports, so if they go on their own streaming service exclusively, they're going to be able to make a ton of money and be able to charge a pretty good bit for that, and everybody's going to have to sign up for it anyway if they want to watch their teams play.
What's the likelihood of that happening? I mean, like I said, I don't know if they're losing money, but that's what I hear from sources that are.
Well, they're not making as much as they feel they should because they're you know, selling their rights to cable and satellites and things like that, where they feel like they could be getting all that money.
So what's the likelihood of them going to a streaming
only? I think it was announced that they were doing it.
You know, yeah, I don't know that
they've come out and said it.
I'd be shocked if somewhere not too far down the road, ESPN is on its own as its own service. And it'd be one of the, you know, apps that you'd be looking for along. I mean, you got ESPN Plus right now as an app. It would be ESPN, the app, the way you're looking at, you know, Netflix and all the other, you know, the apps that are out there right now on streaming.
Okay. I guess that's what the world's coming to.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Appreciate the call, Alan. 334-321-1390. We'll get one more before we get to the bottom of the hour break, and that's Matt. Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. My quick question was, is there ever a dead time now in recruiting anymore? It used to be, you know, certain parts of the, like, beginning of summer, didn't hear a whole lot about people making visits and so forth, and the coaches got a little break from it. Or do we ever have a break? Is there a break? Is there a time where there's a dead period where they can't contact recruits over the summer, or is it?
Well, you know what's crazy now is they're overlapping things. You have, you know, high school recruiting, which does have periods in there, but a lot of the times during those periods, the transfer portal is still open and there are players that are out there doing that. So it appears that there is less downtime than ever. Brian, am I wrong there?
No, it's gotten bad, especially for football coaches, because of the portal, because of the early signing period, which runs straight into recruiting kids out of the portal into December and January. And then you've got the whole spring period and you got June official visits. They have put a July dead period. I think it's for three. It's maybe 4 weeks now, which is good. But I do think they're going to look to even add more, because I just feel like it's between the start of the season in August and, you know, the end of June. It's almost no time off.
One or the other. I mean, it's either recruiting visits with high school players, or the portal's open and you're having to do that. Yep. So yeah, it seems like there is less downtime for coaches.
It's 4 weeks. It starts June 26th and goes through July 24th. That's the dead period.
That's good. That's a good.
I think that would be healthy for everybody. Yep. I know Alabama did they kept track of how many 7-day work week their guys were doing, and it was their coaches were doing, and it was insane.
Hey, if you're not doing it, you're getting behind.
Yeah, it was 44, right. And that is. That's a lot. And here's the thing about, yes, college coaches are paid a lot, especially the head coaches, but assistants aren't paid as much as you think. And those are the assistants that are doing a lot of the legwork and working those hours. And they're also the guys who are often, you know, younger guys, married, young families.
And, yeah, they just don't have any family time at all.
Right, that need dad around, right? So there needs to be adjustments made. There needs to be more thought put into the to the calendar for football coaches, and really coaches in all sports.
I agree. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the call, Matt. Good. That's a good call. I mean, and that's something, yes, a lot of people don't think about. It's like, oh, why isn't there any news now? It's like, well, there very well could be, But yes, just imagine yourself being in a position where you didn't get a day off. And I'm talking not a weekend. You didn't get a day off for 11 months.
Yeah, that's crazy. The portal has really changed things a lot and really just tripled the amount of work they have to do now.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join in as we head into the final half hour here on the Monday Drive.
1067 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final 25 minutes here on this Monday afternoon. Bill and Brian. Dan, at a family affair. Wait, that was, you remember that show?
Oh, yeah.
Remember the song?
No.
It was Sly and the Family Stone was the song. But yeah, Jody and Buffy from the TV show.
Nice.
And was it Mr. French?
Sounds right.
I think. I don't know. It's West before your time. Happy anniversary, Brian.
Thank you.
It's Brian. And
Yvonne, yep.
Yeah.
No,
it's like I was about to say Yvonne has shown her, I mean, well, it's like what I say about my wife. I mean, the thought that they have put up with us for as long as they have. No, that's great.
That is a real medal for that.
Congratulations, man. That's great. Yeah, we've got Brian here with us for another 20 minutes or so. Something we didn't really talk about in the first hour, just quickly did when we were saying some of the things that are going on. Since the last time you were on last Tuesday, the deadline for players to withdraw from the NBA draft came. Auburn had gotten the news about Jahni Broome. It looks like the basketball roster pretty set, and I like the look of it. I mean, it is a solid two deep with a lot of flexibility.
It is. I mean, they would probably like to get in another four, but it just didn't work out that way. But getting Jahni Broome and Jalen Williams back was huge. Two really experienced guys. Jahni was Auburn's leading scorer, leading rebounder, leading shot blocker. And you saw him improve throughout the season.
Yeah,
you saw
him improve. I can't wait to see him now after how well he performed during the G League Elite Camp and then the Combine.
So I think Auburn's got a four and a five that can shoot threes as well as anybody now, or close to it.
Yeah, I think they've got quite a few possibilities of being able to run a five out where anybody could shoot.
Aiden Holloway's in school now. We'll be competing with Trey Donaldson for that point guard position. That should be a great competition. I think those guys are both going to play and share those responsibilities.
You know, I think that Trey Donaldson is a guy who might improve more than a lot of people realize because he was a two-sport guy.
Mm-hmm.
This is his first real year of just being a basketball player.
I agree. And if he continues to do that, I could see him maybe getting some time at the two because –
We saw his shooting ability.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So that'll be interesting to watch. I think Denver Jones, he is here now. Got some size, got some three-point shooting bona fides, you know. Can do that for Auburn, can defend with his length from the perimeter better at the two. And then you got Chad Baker Mazzara, the junior college signee. You got the kid from UAH, Chaney Johnson.
Chaney Johnson, mm-hmm.
Both competing there at the three, and Chad
Those
Baker,
guys
maybe.
Can be three or four. Yep. You got KD, of course, at the two as well.
Yep. So you got some depth there. You got
and then Chris Moore's back, and Dylan.
Yep.
So, I mean, they're 10 or 11 guys, and quite a few of them could be this or that. They could play the one and the two, or the two and the three, or the three and the four.
Yes, you like that versatility.
Yep.
And, you know, the thing is, I think there's going to be around 11 scholarship players, which is exactly where Pearl wants it.
Right.
People ask about why not have 13. I think the reason that Auburn would prefer not to have 13, unless it's under certain circumstances, is because 11, 12, and 13 aren't getting a lot of playing time, and that can really cause some, you know, some team issues sometimes if the person –
Well, somebody's like not getting much playing time, and they're not going to be happy, and they're probably not going to be sticking around if they're not happy or you know. So, I mean, it's difficult enough to play 10.
It
can be done. Bruce has shown he can do that. But, I mean, if you've got 13, unless you've got someone who is perfectly satisfied with coming in redshirting and developing.
Or has to sit out because of a transfer
or
something like that.
Well, and that's very rare these days because you apply for a waiver and you generally get it.
Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, so that's the only thing that we were talking a little bit ago in the first hour – That's about the only thing I could imagine that could add to this roster is if there was someone who understood that they weren't going to play much, if any at all, and were coming in with their sights set on, you know, next year or the year after.
Yeah,
something
and
like
if
that.
You do look at next year, there's going to be some turnover coming.
Oh, there are a lot of seniors on this roster, a lot of upperclassmen.
Yep, so it'll be a rebuild next year, but, you know, Pearl's shown he can do that, and I'm excited. I feel like the three-point shooting and perimeter defense were the two biggest issues last year's team, and I feel like they've addressed that in several different ways.
I don't think there's any question about the shooting has really been addressed. And then next year, we know that Auburn's opening up with a biggie. I mean, with Baylor as your season opener.
Oh, I said Oregon earlier. It is Baylor, isn't it? Yeah. Out in South Dakota?
And yeah, in South Dakota.
Yeah, which I think is cool.
I mean, I do too. It's not going to, not going to be easy for some fans to be able to make it.
Just be glad
but
you're not going out there in December or January, right?
And I think we were looking at it the other day. It's in between like the Vandy and LSU games or something when Auburn's football's on the road. So for those serious road trippers,
that would
be a strange triangle.
But yeah, that's great. I'm excited for that. I think it's important to schedule these games. Pearl always has. That could potentially be quad one games that, you know, you have these games in November and you get to March and you look back and that's the reason they got this seed or that's the reason they got in the tournament instead of not getting in the tournament. So I think that's a wise decision.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I mean, for some folks, they go, well, Auburn didn't get the big name. But I think they got guys that really appear to fit what Bruce wants to do. And as you were saying a while ago, I mean, the opportunity to have so many different guys that can make the 3-point shot.
Yeah. And, you know, they could have 6'7" at the wing with Baker Mazzara, 6'8" at power forward, Jalen, 6'10" at the center with Jonai, Denver Jones, 6'4", 6'3". Aiden Holloway is over 6 foot now, 6'1"-ish.
Mm-hmm.
So they've definitely got more size than they had last year too, which is going to help them with that perimeter defense. And
well, hopefully it helps them rebounding a little bit too, because Jonai really just didn't have much help last year.
Yeah, and you feel like having Baker Mazzara, 6'7", Chaney Johnson, 6'7", having threes with some size,
right?
You feel like it was going to help that out, along with Jalen, maybe another year getting a little bit better, more physical, just becoming a better rebounder.
334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline. Love to hear from you. We had a few callers there for a while we were talking about the future of the football schedule, which is it is interesting. I mean, I think that if you're gonna have to go go with a bridge year, if you will, as far as the schedule is concerned. Now they're gonna be able to hype that. And I just hope, like we were talking about a while ago, I hope it's not just – I hope they're more than just tiny little tweaks to the schedule.
Right.
I hope that a few things are wow. Now, like I said, with the Auburn schedule, you don't have to make a whole lot of tweaks, but it'd still be fun to plug in another team. And, you know, hopefully you're plugging in Texas or Oklahoma on just about everybody's schedule to
Auburn
get that in there.
Auburn doesn't need to play Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Arkansas, and Texas A&M, right?
No, they don't. They don't.
Do
I mean, you don't need to play the same
six
teams that you were playing in your division and the same two teams you were playing cross-division.
Exactly.
Make a couple of changes there, at least.
Yeah.
But like we were saying a while ago, maybe Georgia ought to really enjoy it this year. Not that Georgia won't be talented. They will be. They will be tremendously talented in 2024, but if their schedule all of a sudden has to take a big step up and they've got Oklahoma and somebody else, you know, just throw Oklahoma and LSU on the Georgia schedule.
There you go.
Or something like that. Just, you know, so that if they're not going to be playing Alabama, put something like that to challenge the teams that should be the best teams in the league.
Right.
So that you've got, because what we're going to do, The only thing that I think, I mean, the biggest thing that is going to be different about having no divisions is the SEC is going to take the top two teams in the league, and that's who's going to play in the championship game.
Right. And, you know, if Georgia's going to be one of those teams. They need to play, you know, a similar schedule that Alabama or Auburn or LSU plays, which hasn't necessarily been the case the last several years.
No, and it's not all Georgia's fault. Right. The conference schedules have been made years in advance. And, you know, it wasn't Georgia's fault that Tennessee
and Florida
went down for 20 years. Georgia's Florida's been down for a few years. They've been up and down and more down than Florida fans would like. Right. Over the last
20
10,
years ago, they
years.
Were the two best, or maybe it's 25 years ago, right? They were the two best teams in the league.
At the turn of the century.
Yeah.
In the early 2000s, it was still Florida and Tennessee.
It doesn't seem like it's been that long to me, Bill. I mean,
oh, I know. Time
Steve
flies.
Steve Spurrier, Phil Fulmer, was it really that long ago? It is, yes.
Well, 2000, I mean, it was, what? Yeah. Well, it's 15 years.
Yeah.
You know, over 15, from 2008 on, Florida's had Florida won, you know, Urban won a couple of national championships. Mm-hmm. But since then, it hasn't been great times for either of those two schools.
No, it hadn't.
And that's one of the reasons why Georgia has, you know, it's been easier for Georgia. Now, the last couple of years,
that mattered.
It's not just because it's not just because Georgia's schedule's been easier. Georgia's more talented than anybody else, too.
Yeah.
But yes, now that they are. And you have the opportunity. Hopefully, that's what I'm really interested in next Wednesday night. I'm looking forward to see how balanced the SEC can actually get this schedule. All right, we'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to join in. 334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline as we wind things down here on the Monday Drive.
This is Clay McCall here from University Ace Heart.
ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final segment of The Drive here on this Monday afternoon. Let's see. Check in the college baseball scoreboard. Kentucky and Indiana are tied at 2 with the Wildcats batting in the bottom of the second. Winner there advances to a super regional. And I believe that's the only game that's going on right now, as TCU did eliminate Arkansas, as we said a while ago, 12-4. Here in Auburn, Southern Miss has advanced to the Tennessee super regional with an 11-7 win. And Florida blanked Texas Tech earlier, so they will be hosting a super regional as well. Arkansas, the highest seed to be eliminated. And as Brian said, 6 of the 16 national seeds not advancing to super regionals. And it's not even done. I mean, there could be more. All right. So we were talking during the break, and since we don't have calls, as we look ahead to the 2024 football schedule and then beyond, the SEC has an opportunity to – you know, once again, it appeared last week coming out of the SEC meetings, well, they couldn't quite get things done the way the SEC usually does. I mean, Greg Sankey and the SEC have always, you know, prided themselves on being out front with things. Well, the SEC now has a chance to see how well they can actually balance the schedule. We were talking about a couple of things here during the break that, something I think folks don't think about much is they feel like, well, once this schedule is set, whether it's an 8 or a 9 game schedule, it's going to be set and stay that way until the next expansion or something, because it really hasn't changed that much
since 92,
over the last 30 years.
Yeah.
The SEC has a chance to be able to do something where they can adjust sort of over the years. I don't think there's a team in the league, Brian, that has 3 rivals that they just feel like they've got to keep all 3.
Right. It's 2 or 1 for most teams.
Yeah,
right?
I think a lot of teams have 1.
Yeah.
Others have, a team that they'd like to play. Well, you're going to be able to play everybody at least twice in 4 years. But what the SEC can do is if they go to a 3-6, they can say, all right, here are 2 that you want to keep. And that third one, that can adjust. I mean, we're talking about looking at the last 4 or 5 years.
Yep.
The SEC can do that, and every year just sort of be looking at, does that still seem fair? Keep everything like on a 4-year cycle, mm-hmm. where you're playing everybody twice, at least twice in 4 years, yep. and you play 3 teams every year for 4 years. Well, at the end of that 4 years, you wouldn't have to necessarily keep those same three teams.
Right.
You could adjust. If one of those teams you're playing, like you've got a situation with, like Alabama does, where they feel like it's not fair, where they're playing Auburn, playing LSU, Auburn, and Tennessee,
right,
with Tennessee moving up. Well, right now, Auburn's been sort of moving down. So, I mean, you can see where that doesn't seem that unfair right now. If Auburn improves under Hugh Freeze, LSU stays good, Tennessee gets better, then you could adjust that. At the end of a four-year period, like, well, that's not fair. That's not as balanced as we'd like.
Maybe they'd lose LSU.
You'd take,
of course, LSU would lose one of their biggest rivals, right?
That's true. That's true. But, I mean, if LSU's, you know, you'd have to give LSU somebody else really good if you're taking Alabama off the LSU schedule.
Yep.
But, I mean, I think that's really neat that you could do that and try to keep things as fair as possible for everyone so that you don't have situations like Georgia playing, you know, nothing but some bottom feeders while Alabama or LSU or, you know, someone else is having to play a much tougher schedule. If you if you keep that ability of being able to adjust every four-year cycle, then it's less likely that the schedule is going to be unfair.
Yep, and that 6-3 allows you to do that, and I really like that about it. And plus it gives you that ninth conference game, so you're playing now more games every year that really matter.
Right.
And that's going to be better for fans and everybody that, you know, follows the SEC and college football.
And as we said earlier, it's hard to imagine that ESPN wouldn't realize the value of that, having an extra week of an Alabama, Oklahoma, an Auburn, Texas, or a Georgia, you know, just a Georgia, Alabama that you didn't normally get in the division situation. So, yeah, hopefully SEC takes a big step toward that next Wednesday. Brian, before we run out of time, yeah, let everybody know what you've got going, what's coming up on Auburn Sports.
Yeah, so today we updated the official visitors from the weekend, went out there to camp, talked to some people. I'll have an update on the quarterback, Will Griffin, a 26th quarterback that Auburn offered today. So, you know, you got to get ahead of these guys.
Oh, yeah.
You got to get on. He already had offers from Florida, Florida State, Miami.
Wow.
He's from Tampa Jesuit. So,
and he's a 26 kid.
Yep. So, you got to start
early. So
he's
an upcoming sophomore. Wow.
Yeah, especially with quarterbacks. You really got to start early there. Of course, the NCAA is looking into changing some rules about when you can offer kids. So we'll see if that affects something maybe next year or so. And then, of course, we'll get together for the Rundown, our podcast, tomorrow, and have plenty more updates, you know, this week on recruiting. And portaling is probably done for now. And then there's going to be a big Board of Trustees meeting.
Baseball portaling isn't done.
Yes, that's right. Baseball is definitely not done.
Brian, thanks a lot again. Always great to have you here. And, happy anniversary.
Appreciate that.
All right, we are out of time here on the Monday Drive. Dan and I back with you tomorrow. Join us then. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.